So at one particular church on a Sunday morning, after a very long and boring sermon by the pastor, all the people filed out of the back of the church and the pastor was there and they awkwardly didn't say anything to him as they left. Until this one nice, kind person who usually has something to say to the pastor said this, "Pastor, your sermon reminded me of the peace and love of God." And the pastor said, "Wow, thank you so much. Like, what reminded you of the peace and love of God?" They said, "Well, it reminded me of the peace of God because it passed all understanding. And it reminded me of the love of God because it endured forever. I'm hoping that this sermon is not long or boring today, but rather very meaningful for us. And I want to welcome all of you who are here. We have many guests from out of town. We have Messiah University students back. Come on. Seriously, if we're going to say Messiah University, you got to go a little crazy if you go to that school. So ready? Messiah University students are here. Okay, I see you. Great. And we're looking forward to a great day. We do have a picnic today after our service is over. The sunshine came out. Even if you didn't sign up, we'd love to have you come and join us. It's only a few miles away from the church here. We'll give you directions if you need it. But looking forward to getting into God's Word here together and spending some time with Him. As you can see, we even have communion stations set up for after the church, after the sermon is done, and looking forward to that together. Hey, this is our last message in a series that we started back in January. We started 1 Thessalonians back in January. We went all the way through 1 Thessalonians, and now we're coming to the very end of 2 Thessalonians here on this Labor Day weekend. And this message is a great one. I'm looking forward to it. It's a very personal greeting from the Apostle Paul, who wrote this to the church in Thessalonica in northern Greece 2,000 years ago, a small church, about 100 people. He wrote this letter to them. He's giving them his final greetings. But because the Bible is the living Word of God, it's still every bit for us today as it was back then. And what Paul wanted for them to hear under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he was writing this letter was that there are three things of blessings that he wanted them to know that they have in Christ and that they would just take for themselves again as he closed out this letter. It's the peace of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, and the grace of Jesus. So open up your Bibles there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the last three verses. We're going to look at those together. He says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." A little side note here, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. And then he finishes out, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." So before we jump into the meat of this passage, I want to just talk about that curious kind of funny note there in verse 17. Where Paul says, "I'm writing this with my own hand." Have you ever seen a kid write a letter once they've learned how to handwrite, maybe in first grade, second grade, and they put a little note like, "Thank you, Grandma and Grandpa, for the Christmas presents. I love you. And I'm really writing this," like signed Tommy or whatever the name would be. Actually, this week, as I was preparing for this message, someone in our church congregation who shall remain nameless sent me a photograph of a letter she had written in about second grade that had that very same thing. "I'm really writing this," signed, I'll give her away, Jen. She's not here this morning, so if you got to figure out who that is, she did that. And I thought that was really funny, and that's cute, but that's not really what Paul was doing here. The Apostle Paul was following a pattern that he did for almost all of his letters, that he would have a scribe write down the bulk of the letter, and at the very end, he would sign it with the last few thoughts himself. He'd write it in his own handwriting. That was common practice back in that day. He would verbally speak out the letter. Someone with good handwriting and those technical skills to make the letters and everything on a scroll would copy it all down. And then at the end, Paul would fill all in. And actually, it might also be because Paul had bad eyesight. That's one of the things people suspect, because over in the book of Galatians, at the very end of that letter, he says, look at the large letters which I'm writing this with. I mean, it's kind of, you see the personal side of how the Word of God came together. And actually have a picture of that. This is not the real scroll. We don't have the original scrolls. We have lots of copies of the original scroll. But this is kind of what it would have looked like. If you can see, the left column was the tighter scribe letters, and the right side would be the larger letters that the Apostle Paul wrote with. And that's kind of the idea here. And what we want to pick up from this is that Paul saw these people, these Thessalonians, as his spiritual children. Like, he loved them. He had brought them to Christ and now had traveled on other places, but he wanted to write them and say, guys, I'm really writing this with my own hand. You know it's from me. You know my care for you, my love for you by this. And with that, that's the mood in which, the tone in which we want to receive it even yet today, that through the shepherding hand of the Apostle Paul, God still wants us to hear. He has these blessings for us today. So let's get into the first one. It's in verse 16. He says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. What an amazing verse. You could just sit and ponder that verse. But I want to ask you, who is the Lord of peace? I heard one person respond. That was a question to you all. Who is the Lord of peace? Yes, that's a great answer. Jesus. You could think about it in general, that God himself is the Lord of peace. In fact, in the book of Judges, we get this title of God, Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. And that's an incredible thought. We'll come back to the idea of shalom here in a second. But we also have in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a prophecy about the coming Messiah, about the coming Christ. And you might recognize this. We always look at it as a Christmas prophecy, but it's really a fulfillment of his reign that would come, or a prophecy of his reign that would come, that he is the mighty God, everlasting Father. I messed that up, didn't I? It starts with Wonderful Counselor. Thank you. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so that is Jesus' name. It's a title for him. He's the Prince of Peace. He has a royalty, a kingdom that will usher in peace. And so as we look here at 2 Thessalonians 3, the Apostle Paul is meaning this to be talking about Jesus. In fact, as we look at the coming verses, it references Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the Lord of peace. That's an incredible title. As I mentioned, peace in the Hebrew mind meant more than just the absence of conflict. How many of you would love a world with an absence of conflict? I mean, your relationships, your countries, tribes that are against each other, all that's going on. That's wonderful in and of itself. And Jesus one day will bring an end to all world conflict, all relational conflict. But peace is more than just the absence of that. Peace is the building up of a person to be whole and right in every way, redeemed and restored. How many of you look forward to a time where everything is redeemed and restored and right? That's heaven. That's Jesus' full reign that he's going to have. And Jesus has come to bring that already to us. Though we don't have it fully, we have the reign of Jesus Christ, the Lord of peace in us. That's his ministry to us. In fact, let's think about that for a moment. As all of us were born into the world, the scripture says that we were born sinful, with a sinful nature that was at conflict with God. In fact, we were enemies of God, the scripture says. We were objects of his wrath because of our sinfulness. We were at odds with God. We were in chaos in our sin. In fact, the enemy, our Satan, his role is to want to steal, kill, and destroy. Does that sound like chaos to you? And if he's had his way in our world and in our lives, That's our state of being. But Colossians chapter 1 said that Jesus came to reconcile all things to God by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Folks, one of the very tangible things that we receive through the gospel, through the good news of receiving Jesus' reign in our lives, is we have peace with God through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. He ended the conflict that we had with God because now our sins are covered. Now we are redeemed, we are restored, we're brought into God's family. And we have more now than we ever could have had. And the future is only going to get better in heaven as we continue to live under the reign of Jesus' peace. And so peace is one of those things that has dawned into our lives the moment we receive Jesus. And it changes everything. No longer do you and I have to strive to be loved. We're already loved by the incredible love of God. No longer do we have to strive for approval because we're already accepted fully by the Father through what Jesus Christ has done for us. We no longer have to wonder if our prayers will be heard because they are already going to be heard because he loves us because of his reign of peace. We don't have to worry about shielding ourselves from the guilt and shame of our sin because that's all been taken away in Christ. We don't have to fear the judgment of God in our lives because we have found peace. And we don't have to have a constant fear and anxiety in our lives about what will go on and have to try to control it to make sure all the outcomes will be there, because he loves us and he's with us and will provide all of our needs. Peace comes through Jesus Christ. How many of you can relate to how sometimes you have like a motor of anxiety that's running and you can't turn it off? It's like low level sometimes, and sometimes it just consumes your mind and brain and body, and you fidget and you're just distracted, and sometimes you can't sleep because there's anxiety, there's fear, there's unknowns. There's so many things that overwhelm us, and we need to know today is that Jesus is the Lord of peace. I love another piece of this verse. It says that he's the Lord of peace himself will bring us peace. It's going to come through Jesus Christ. It's going to come through relating to Jesus Christ, being with Jesus Christ in relationship. We have him, but we get it through him. Have you ever had the experience where you felt that stress or anxiety, being overwhelmed, and then you spend some time with Jesus dedicated in prayer or in worship or in some kind of way, and he stills that motor? He stops it because he's the Lord of peace. In fact, one of my favorite places in Philippians chapter 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, as you give those worries and fears and needs and concerns over to the Lord, with thanksgiving, that's another piece of it, is recognizing how he's been faithful, what he does in our lives. It says, present your requests to God, and here's a promise, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace comes through being with Jesus. One of the privileges I have as the lead pastor here is I get to lead the Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 o'clock, and I lead most weeks when I'm here. I've been traveling a little bit here this summer, but I love getting to meet together. We meet in this room right over here, and as we come in, I'll just kind of let you in that pastors deal with anxiety and fear and stress. And there's a lot of weeks I come and it's Wednesday. Anybody feel like Wednesday, hump day, it's a lot going on, and you're right in the middle of your week, right? You're not your weekend yet. You're in the middle of everything. And sometimes I come into the Wednesday night prayer meeting, I'm like, I have some stuff prepared and it's good. And we start talking about it and we talk about the Lord. But inside, it's hard to get started in prayer. Anybody ever feel like it's hard to get started in prayer? You're like, my mind gets distracted. I don't know what fully to say. And you start getting into it. Sometimes my mind wanders a little bit. Sometimes I've got a couple of, you know, I don't know. I don't always focus the best in prayer. I'm just being honest. But when you push through, when you wait long enough, for me, one of the things I love about prayer meeting is when I hear others pray, there's a point in time where you start to slow down. He stills all that's going on in your heart and your mind. And sometimes we get done with our prayer meeting as we've been crying out to Jesus, and we've been praying, praising Jesus and thanking him for things. And we get done and no one wants to move because you're like, yes, we're in the presence of Jesus. And it's just so good. There's peace that always comes in his presence. And folks, we can experience that on a Sunday morning in a time of worship. We can experience that in a small group when we've been with our people that we know and love and we've shared with and we've prayed together. We can experience that at home when we've turned on worship music and we're singing, or in the car or when we've taken out the time to read in his word and pray. Peace comes through the Lord of peace himself. And he can give you peace at all times. And in every way. What an incredible promise we have here from the Lord. It's in his title, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace. We'll come back to that again and apply this here in a few minutes. The next thing we want to look at is at the end of verse 16. We've talked about Jesus' peace, but what about his presence? The Apostle Paul says, "The Lord be with all of you." I thought he already is with all of us, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, something amazing has happened. God himself has taken up residence inside of you. Jesus in my heart, through the Holy Spirit, living in me. We're now temples of the Holy Spirit, of the living God. Wherever we go, he's with us. And the Apostle Paul says, hey, the Lord be with all of you. He's reaffirming a gospel truth that he's with you. Now, let's just think about that. This is a pretty absurd thing to say. The Lord be with you. Think about earthly lords. What images come to mind? Kings, princes, right? Don't lords want to hang out with other lords? Other dignitaries, they have servants around them who, like, I'm picturing, like, they hand them a goblet made out of gold, and they drink out of a, you know, something very expensive, and they have servants that are fanning them and dropping grapes into their mouth, like, oh, you know, like, give me another. You know, that's what lords do. I don't know, they have official business. But lords don't hang out with everyday regular people. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Any authority you think you know in human level, the highest authority that it goes, pales in comparison to the authority that Jesus Christ has. He has been exalted to the highest place in heaven and on earth. He has all authority. He's holy. He's majestic. He's set apart. He's transcendent above all that has been made. And yet Jesus Christ is imminent. That's what theologians would say. Transcendent above everything and yet imminent with us. In fact, one of his names is the name of our church. It's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, who's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is with us. Stop and think about that. He wants you to know that wherever you go, he's with you. You don't have to worry about what you will say. You don't have to worry about what will happen. You don't have to worry about whether you'll have the strength to endure something. If he's with you, he says, I'll take care of it. Just know I'm with you. Just lean upon me. I will be your strength. I will be your encouragement. I will help you to do whatever is needed to be done. The Lord himself is with us. It's stunning. Jesus Christ made himself available to us, and he wants to hang out with us all day long. He wants to hear what we have to say. He wants us to hear his voice. He wants to know that we're not alone. He wants us to know that we're not alone. He wants us to be aware of his presence all the time. In his book, Practicing the Way, John Mark Comer says this about his presence. God is not a concept or an emotion, as if he was just kind of a thought. He's certainly not a doctrine and a statement of faith or a chapter in a theology book, as if he were reduced to that. But he is a person whose burning desire it is to know and be known by you. God is a person. Jesus is a person, and he's saying, I am with you. And know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've received him as your Savior, if he dwells in your hearts, remember the gospel truth. He's with you. And so whatever you are facing, whatever is going on, know that he wants you to know that you have him, that he's walking with you, that he's only a conversation away, even this morning. He's just a prayer away, though he's right there with you. So Jesus' peace, Jesus' presence, and then finally Jesus' grace. That's what verse 18 tells us. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's the last blessing here. And what is grace? It's the unearned, unmerited favor of God. And what that means is he treats you and I way better than we deserve. We couldn't do anything to earn his grace and his favor. We couldn't do anything to look better in his eyes. We didn't do anything that he should come and enter our world and die for us on the cross and have favor toward us. We've done nothing to earn that. Long before you and I ever lived, he did that. Because he saw you, and he had grace and mercy upon you. What? There are a number of kinds of grace in Scripture that we see. And I want to just take a few minutes to unpack the ways in which Jesus Christ has grace toward us. The first kind is a common grace. It's a grace that everyone in the world can experience, because if you are breathing, he's had grace enough to let you live. He has grace enough to let the rain fall on the righteous and on the unrighteous, and that crops would grow in various places around the world and could be fed, and that evil is held back as much as it is to allow us to be able to live for this time being. And let's look at a verse from Psalm 145. It says this. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made. There is a common grace that he gives to this world. Everyone can experience it. But then there's a little more specific grace. It's a saving grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is an incredible kind of grace that when it dawns into your life, you are saved through faith. Not because you've worked for it, not because you've earned it, but because you've simply believed and received. He now gives it to you as a gift. That's a kind of grace that we can't even fully understand. This is amazing grace, if you know the old hymn. And then we can go forward to another kind of grace. Sustaining grace. This sustains us through all times and all kinds of needs that we have. So Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. That's what his throne is called, where Jesus reigns from. It's a throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is a kind that will sustain us when we have things going on that we don't know how to get through. We have the privilege to come to his throne of grace and find mercy and grace. And the Apostle Paul talked about it in a little different way. When he was going through struggles, he had a thorn in his side that he prayed that God would take it away. And Jesus said this to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." This is a sustaining kind of grace. By the way, that verse from 2 Corinthians 12, this week I was visiting two of our senior saints. One is facing a reemergence of cancer in her body. The other is in a long-term care facility, separated away from family and friends, and is just struggling. And this is the verse the Lord brought to my mind to read with them. "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." God has a kind of grace for us that will sustain us through whatever we're going through. It's just for those ladies who I visited this week. It's also for you in your life. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you in whatever you're facing, whatever you are enduring. Which of these kinds of grace, then, is Paul meaning as he says this? I would say probably all three. His common grace, his saving grace, his sustaining grace. Out of the limitless stores of the kindness and mercy of his heart, he has this for you. So what Paul wanted us to know, what the Holy Spirit laid on his heart to write to us, is that God has for you and I today peace, presence, and grace. Now, if you already know Jesus Christ, you already have these things. Maybe you've never thought about it this way, but imagine that there's this gigantic circle here, bigger than I can draw, but just this, let's say there was this circle. And when we start out this life, we are outside that circle. That's called being in Christ. And I'm over here, I'm separated away from Christ. But when the good news comes to me, and when I believe and give my heart over to Jesus Christ, and I receive him as my Savior, and he cleanses me from my sin, all of a sudden, I'm brought into this circle that's called being in Christ. And when you have Christ, he is the great prize. He is the great reward in your life. And you come to love him and know him, and you can't wait for the day in heaven when you'll see him face to face. But you're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, everything that's part of being in that circle is yours, including peace, presence, grace. We could name a whole lot of other things, right? Acceptance and forgiveness and freedom and power and all these things that we have. They're ours. The problem is we often don't believe, we don't remember, we don't experience these things, because we live in a way that's independent from Jesus. We aren't relating to the Lord of peace himself. So I want to tell you a story that would kind of help illustrate that. I was reading a commentary about these verses, and there's an author named Mark Howell who told a story about how he planned a trip with some buddies to go to the Great Smoky Mountains. Anybody been there before? Woo, it's so beautiful. The rolling hills that just continue on and on and on. There's wildlife everywhere. It's gorgeous. And you can find some pretty secluded places there. So he and his buddies, he planned a trip where he'd pick them up in his truck. They would drive to the Smokies. They would go to this secluded place. They would hike a couple miles up into the mountains and then trout fish their way down a stream all the way back. Does that sound like an ideal vacation to anybody in this room? Some of you like that, right? Even if not, the mountains are beautiful. Just go there in your mind, right? So here they went. They parked there in this place. They hiked way up. It was a beautiful day. They fished all the way down. He said they didn't catch a whole lot of fish, but that was okay because they had a great time. They get back to the truck in the evening, and they're going to load everything up and drive away. When Mark realizes, can't find my keys. And so he's telling the guys, I can't find them. And they're looking everywhere. And like, did you check? And, yeah, I checked everything. And checking my gear, there's no keys. It's getting dark. They decided with the remaining little bit of daylight, they would retrace their steps. They made it about a mile or two up and checked all along. And no keys. So they decided they had to come back. It's dark. And they're in a place where, like, it's pretty secluded. No one's going to come by there. And this was before the days of cell phones, because that's what you would do, right? Call for help. AAA. Can't find my keys. They decided, well, we're going to have to just spend the night here under the stars. And it's cold. We didn't bring any gear for this, but we'll make the best of it. So as they're doing that, he sits down. He sits on his billfold, his wallet. And so he pulls it out. And guess what was smashed right up against his wallet? His keys. And his buddies would never let him down for that. Like, they're going to always rib him about that the rest of their life. But he said, we learned a really important lesson. You shouldn't have to search hard for something you already have. And so today, as this gospel truth has been put in front of us, if you have Jesus Christ, you have his peace, you have his presence, you have his grace, it's yours. Don't search hard for it. Just come to Jesus again. And we've built in time here as we are going to be transitioning to the picnic. Before we fellowship with everybody else, we want to fellowship with him. I don't know if you noticed in these verses, there's a word that pops up over and over again. It's the word all. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. And in every way, the original word there is in all ways. The Lord be with all of you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. He's got enough for whatever you're dealing with, whatever concern is on your heart. At all times, in every way, he wants to give this to all of you. And by the way, he's the all-sufficient Savior. So as we come to this time of communion, we're going to come and take the bread. We're going to take the cup. But I want to ask you to prepare your heart. Whatever you need to do to come before him, to maybe take some concerns before him and lay them at his feet, whether it's sin that you haven't talked with him yet and it feels like it's blocking you, just be honest about it, name it before him, and remember the price he's paid for you. If there's some way you need to thank him or praise him and just be with him so that you remember the sense that he's got peace for you, he's got his presence for you, he's got grace for you. Then what we're going to invite you to do is to come to one of these four stations that are around the room. And you'll come and self-serve. You'll take communion at the table. You can come alone. You can come with a group of friends. You can come with your family. Parents, this is a great time to take your kids through and talk about it with them. The one thing that we would say is only do this if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't yet know him, I'd just encourage you, take the time to pray and ask him, Jesus, would you save me, a sinner? Forgive me of my sins, and I put my faith in you. And then that would be a perfect time to go and to take communion after that. Come with the right heart. You can serve one another. You can take communion there, and then you can be seated. If you can't get up out of your seat, we'll have someone coming with a tray. Who can bring it to you. Just slip up your hand as it comes around, and he'll do that. Another thing that we'll have as you would come up to these stations is we'll have a group of people near each one who would be willing to pray for you in a short kind of prayer. We don't have time to do lengthy prayers with everybody, but near each station, you can just tell a person, you know what, this is what I need from him. I need Jesus' peace today. Or I need to just remember his presence is with me. Or I need his grace today. just tell them real quickly which one you want them to pray for, and they'll simply just pray with you right there. And it's in a sense of conveying from a brother or sister in Christ just to convey the gospel truth of what Jesus has for you. And they'll just pray over you. If lines are long, just stay at your seats and come when the lines are shorter. We're not in a rush here. And we'll just trust that the Lord will minister to us all as we draw near to him in this time. So I'd encourage those who are part of the prayer teams, you can move to the stations as I pray. Let's bow together. Lord Jesus, as we come into this time, I want to just recall that word, himself. May the Lord of peace himself. It's your heart, it's your ministry to meet your people where we are and to administer your peace to us, to remind us of your presence with us, to administer your grace to us. And so, Lord, we draw near to you. And I ask that here in this place, those of us who are gathered here today, you brought us here, that you would minister to each of our hearts, Lord. As we draw near to you, would you free us from whatever we're carrying, and would you fill us with a fresh sense of your peace and presence and grace today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.